Welcome to the State of America Road Report. With your hosts, David Hudson and Ian Rice. Let's get started.
All right, all right.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the State of America Road Report. We are reviving this series for the first time since the Shake Your Moneymaker Tour to check in on night one of the Happiness Bastards Tour, which took place on April 2nd at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. And if you've been paying any attention to social media, you know David was there. He had a SOA meetup just before the show and was checking in all throughout the event. So we are going to check in with David, get his kind of instant reaction that he recorded right after the show to kind of let you guys know exactly what to expect and how the experience was. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement and high energy in this one. So I'm going to shut up, get out of the way, and get over to David as he tells us about night one of the Happiness Bastards Tour.
All right, everybody. David here. Sorry if my voice is shot. I've been singing a lot. I've got my good buddy Brian Rosenberg here. He flew all the way from New York to hang out. Brian.
Totally worth it. Hi, everybody.
So, obviously, we just got done with the opening night of the Happiness Bastards Tour. And first of all, we probably had 30 people show up for this meet and greet. And that meant a whole lot to me. That was really cool. We gave away some really, really cool one-of-a-kind stuff. Brian, did you have fun there?
That was great. Just the community you guys have fostered, it's amazing. I met so many people that I really hope to meet them all again.
Yeah, so many new people. We gave away some cool prints, a Three Snakes tour book, a buttload of CDs, vinyl, pictures, paintings, drawings, koozies. Some of the people I'm going to send some shirts and some hoodies to. Anyway, it was a packed crowd at the Grand Ole Opry. Jack White's wife opened the show. I was, me and Brian and our friend Christy were in the merch line for what I think I caught one song.
Caught the
when
last
she was
one.
Done. She played exactly 30 minutes. They're coming on at 8. They're off at 8:30. The Crows are hitting the stage straight up 9. I do want to take this moment. I'm not going to mention her last name because I didn't get her permission to. But Christy is my angel of the week. She got me front row tickets, me and her, right in front of Rich. And to say that was awesome would be an understatement. So Christy, thank you very much. She gave me and Brian rides to and fro. All right, so thank you everybody for coming to the meet and greet. It was really cool. We're going to do one in Chicago. Ian's going to do one in New York. Brian's going to be at the one in New York.
I know.
And don't forget about Loretta's across the street in Boston. Our buddies Seth and Trent are going to be there, and they're going to play a bunch of Black Crowes tunes. And Trent was here. Always good to see my buddy Trent. He's a great guy. So first thing we noticed when we walked in, it's the strangest Black Crowes set I've ever seen. Wouldn't you say, Brian?
Yeah, it was all the amplifiers up on stage. I know maybe it was from Rich's company. He was selling those.
I counted 12 different amps.
There were a lot, and there were some behind the drum kit, too.
Yeah, and so the thing that first sticks out is Cully's drums. Would you say they're 12 to 15 feet off the ground?
Easily. I mean, there's a full-body mirror under him that Chris was singing in front of the whole show.
And then Eric Deutsch was up there. From where I was sitting, we never saw the girls, but apparently they were on top, too. And then right underneath Cully, it's like a full-length mirror, and it looks like it's got, like, lights you would see, like, in a mirror that a woman does her makeup kind of around. there wasn't much else to it. I'm wondering if they took it easy on all of that because they were at the Grand Ole Opry. So they come out to It's a Long Way to Rock if you want to walk rock and roll by AC/DC. Now, here's where I think we're going to have to figure out what happened. They get out on stage, and then there's like, what would you say that was? It's like a voice recording of like, I couldn't tell like if it was from a movie.
It was giving them time to come out on stage, and yeah, it was either movie quotes or song quotes, but just the spoken word part of it, and it sounded kind of garbled at times, or maybe it was just where I was under the speakers.
And they seemed kind of like, what's going on here almost? They were kind of standing there.
But then the lights came up, and they were right there ready to play.
Yeah, so the lights came up, Bedside Manners kicked it off. It's as advertised, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen the Crows a bunch of times. This is the most intuit, most animated, most energetic I've ever seen, Chris. What do you think?
We'll get to the songs later with a special guest, but yeah, he was just very much in every moment and giving all of his energy back to the crowd and just having a good time and bringing us with him.
So after that, we get Rats and Clowns. I thought it was really good. The new stuff was very well received. I think people liked it. After that, we got Twice as Hard. I mean, that's Twice as Hard. And then they go into My Morning Song. I was excited to see that very early in the set.
Mm-hmm. It gave me hope for not just the song, that song, but what else was coming up. And I know it felt like the right version for this iteration of the band.
No
like,
jamming.
Exactly.
But Chris was into it. So then we go into where things start to get interesting. They play Cross Your Fingers. Now, this is the first time they ever played it. You could tell the way they were looking at each other that there was some trepidation, or not trepidation, or like this could go off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pretty clear that's not my favorite song. It came off live a lot better, and my gosh, Finn may have caused the seismograph to move with his bass. That is the loudest bass notes I have ever heard in my life.
His hand didn't stop moving. It reminded me of like the hardest songs I could play on Guitar Hero or Rock Band back in the day when you played those. I got arthritis watching him, and Rich too. Both of them were just nonstop strumming.
Yeah, and I mean, Sven just, I'm telling you, the Grand Ole Opry shook. He may have woken up some ghost of Hank Williams. Then we go into Hard to Handle. I mean, we've all seen that a million times. And they do Kicking My Heart Around. Chris was very animated during this. And then things get cool. You could tell somebody was coming out because they brought a microphone out. You knew it had to be Lainey Wilson. And she comes out there and he goes, we can't play the Grand Ole Opry without a bona fide country star. Did you get excited when you saw her come out?
Yeah, because from where we were sitting, you saw like the person coming out from the wings. Obviously, a female was about to join them. And, you know, just we all guessed who it was going to be once you saw that silhouette.
So they played Wilted Rose. Did a great job. She really got into it. She ad-libbed a little bit, especially during that breakdown. Chris let her take all of those vocals. I'd always been wondering who was doing the slide on that. It was Rich. He was playing an acoustic guitar, and he took the guitar off and put the electric guitar on, and he did the slide. And then it looked like it was over with. And like she went to like give Rich a hug and then pulled away, and it looks... I mean, I could be wrong, but everybody with this looks like they ad-libbed it, and he asked, do you want to do She Talks to Angels?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've all heard that a million times, but you could tell this is like a dream come true for her. And when she was on stage, Chris was having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
He reminded me of like in the 90s when Jagger would get Sheryl Crow on stage and just kind of, you know, have some fun with it. Anyway, they were into it. And then we get something I've never seen before. Chris Robinson singing without a microphone stand. He asked, did everybody bring their roller skates? And he said, it's okay. We can have fun without roller skates. He takes the microphone off the stand, sings the entire version of I Ain't Hiding without a microphone stand. I've never seen that. And he was into it. All right. Did you get geeked? I mean, I Ain't Hiding came across great with the crowd.
It was great. It was, I mean, the people I was around were standing the whole time. The people you were around were standing the whole time. And just when it dawned on us, like, oh, this isn't one we've heard in the last year or five.
Right.
Like, there was another pep in our step as, like, people realized what it was, which was, yeah, I was happy to hear that.
And then we got kind of what I wanted to hear was Flesh Wound. The crowd was as into that as they could be for a song off a new album. They played it with such intensity. It was so much fun. Everybody around us was dancing, having a blast. I mean, it was so much fun. So by my count, how many songs is it off the new album?
Six.
So we got six songs off the new album, which I kind of had the over-under at four. Now, you know, we were promised deeper cuts and more rarities and stuff like that. And I think that's going to happen. I think they were wanting to get these songs worked out maybe live. Mm-hmm. But six off the new album is good. Then we go into Sting Me. Chris was totally into that. And then a really good version of Thorn, I thought.
This to me was the highlight of the show. Like, they actually did a jam for it and everyone had their shining moment or two or three. Just a highlight of the show for me.
And they go into Jealous Again, and then they went into Remedy. And you know when Remedy played, that was going to be the last song. So that's song number 16. And we were kind of wondering, like, what the encore would be. And I looked at our friend and I said, please don't let it be Rock and Roll by Velvet Underground. And he goes, Chris goes, we're going to play this Lou Reed song. And I was like, oh, no. But actually, it was White Light, White Heat. And they played it with a lot of tenacity. It was pretty ferocious. I wasn't disappointed when it was over. I was really wanting Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? Or Torn and Frayed? Or Oh, Sweet Nothing? I could go on and on. But anyway, we didn't get that. Everybody seemed to go home happy. It was packed in there.
It was packed. When I was sitting up top in my original seats and looking down, everyone down below was standing. You couldn't find an empty seat. So when I moved down and just kind of pushed in on people, it was great to be part of the zeitgeist, part of the crowd. And it was a little over 90 minutes for the for the regular set, and then they came back for the encore.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think at Chris's age he could give it any more than he did. And like, I don't know if 2 hours is, I mean, he didn't quit moving. Mm-mm. And like, he was so animated and he interacted with the crowd a lot more than I've seen him interact.
He came out, he was giving some fist bumps to some people. He was, you're right. He was, even though there was a good, I don't know, 6-7 feet between the monitors and the front of the stage, he came out in front of the monitors and interacted.
He even walked like past Rich all the way up to the corner in front of us on Rich's side of the stage. Mm-hmm. Loud.
So loud.
So loud. you know, and it was, I thought it was a fairly diverse crowd when it came to ages.
There were parents there around me originally with their kids. Like, I saw 12-year-olds, I saw 16, 17-year-olds all there with their parents, and then obviously, like, people our age and up. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Just huge diversity in age.
And we had a 15-year-old patron show up with his parents. I'm not going to say his name since he's under 18, and I don't know. I'm just not going to say that. This kid killed everybody at trivia. I mean, killed them. And I think he only started listening like I had to cut him off. He won so much stuff. I think he's only been listening to him like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And a guy walked by from Driving and Crying, and he's like, oh, that's so-and-so from Driving. And I'm like, I can just see the back of his hat.
Oh, is it Kevin Kinney?
I'm not that smart.
I didn't see that. I talked with my buddy Anthony Corder from Tora Tora. If you're into like 80s glam rock, Steve Brown from Trickster walked past us. I didn't see anybody else famous, did you?
Nope, just the pictures on the wall.
Yeah, there had to be some more people there. So, kind of in closing, it was a really, really loud rock and roll show. I wouldn't be surprised if Wilted Rose gets cut going forward without her there, which we may open it up for either a deeper cut or for
Kindred Friend.
You got Kindred Friend, or I was really wanting to hear Dirty Cold Sun. Mm-hmm. But if I had to sacrifice it, Flesh Wound was the one to sacrifice it for. I had a good time. I knew it was going to be fun. You know, there are people that are going to cherry pick this set list and all of that. And I can understand that to some extent, but it's a different animal live. And I think playing the new songs has invigorated them. They were loving it. Absolutely loving it. Bedside Manners was off the charts, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, to everybody that came to, the meet and greet, it was so cool. It was nice to meet everybody. Finally got to meet Brian here, and a lot of new people that I have never met, which was cool. Some old friends. Jason and them are going to do a good job in Chicago with it. Ian and Brian are going to do a good job in New York. And I feel like that spot, though, with I Ain't Hiding, and kicking my heart around, maybe the two rotation spots.
We'll find out soon.
Brian, I'm going to let you close this out with...
Stay tall, everyone.
All right. We'll see y'all soon.
We got one more rock and roll thing for you from the mind of Mr. Lou Reed. This is for you.
Thank you very much.